So you'd replied to a tweet from Fiona Redmond saying, quote, "Told my therapist today that 90% of tech has an exit dream that involves never touching computers again." Or rather, that's what Fiona said. And you replied, "I lived that dream, and then I realized I really do love tech and building big things with it." So I'm curious, what is the BraveCare story of what you're building now, and how does it fit into that?
Yeah, I think where I ended up with getting to BraveCare was that I was incredibly fortunate to have had a career in tech where I did have an exit and one that allowed me to move to my hometown in Hawaii, a very beautiful place, and disconnect from tech as much as I wanted to. And I sort of went big into that as I try and do in most things. So we had 40 acres. I had a ranch. I was doing cattle. And it took a while to realize it, but that I was depressed. When you have so many layers of privilege in your life, it was hard to recognize, like, oh, I feel terrible every day. Like, I'm not happy. Some major thing is missing here, but I have so many other good positive things. It was hard for me to recognize that. And my analogy was, I think, I come out of a career in not just, the tech world, but from an entrepreneurship side of tech where I was actively trying to like build and make and create. And I love the stress and the challenge of that. And so when we came back to Hawaii, I filled my life with all of the busyness. Like every day I'm like, oh, I got so many things to do. I'm like, I'm busy. It's like, but none of that work was fulfilling. It was just, I was burning my time. And so with nothing to sort of replenish the tank, I was just, running out of gas. Or the other analogy I'd use is I got so busy that I was basically just chainsawing water until my motor blew, like high rev until I really had like a popping moment, which was like some acute depression. I sort of broke down. I was like, something's wrong with me. Like, I'm really not good. And I had had some other, just like my mental focus wasn't there. And I had this moment of like, I gotta get out of here. And so fortunately, my very supportive wife let us move sort of away from the dream life in Hawaii, was looking at moving back to the West Coast. We'd been in the Bay Area before and wanted a little bit more family-oriented community. And so went back to Portland, Oregon, where I'd spend some time. And Portland did what I really
Nice.
wanted it to do, which was to give me access to peers and an environment where I could be inspired again. And then BraveCare's inspiration is my middle daughter splitting her chin at a bike park, sort of sailing herself off a ramp onto her face. It was the first emergency care experience we had with any of our kids. Fortunately, there was a pediatric urgent care nearby. Got there, had really great care. It was a nice, clean clinic. It was like, oh, that's pleasant. I was the kid. I went to their emergency room probably too many times for my mom's liking. But, I experienced what it was like on the other side. So I very much appreciated the good care that I got for my daughter. And then the next weekend, these were back to backs. My 1-year-old couldn't breathe. She had croup and stridor. Didn't know what either of those things were when she had it. But that was a much more emotionally traumatic overnight. And this is why BraveCare, we built physical clinics and we leverage good technology to extend the operational efficiency of the clinic and the reach of it. But in pediatrics, our strong opinion is you cannot only use telehealth. And the example of this is in a 1-year-old, I can't ask her what's going on with her. Like, why can't you breathe? You look really pale right now. What's going on? Even my 9-year-old would probably just be like, I'm tired. My head hurts or something versus saying like, hey, I feel like my lungs are really fluidy. I'm having a hard time breathing. We can't get the precision of language out. So it's very hard to do a good diagnosis and treatment. So I had these back-to-back experiences. The second one emotionally traumatic enough for me to come out going like, man, I genuinely love little kids. I experience healthcare as a parent frequent. I think there's a better consumer experience we can build here. That puts the child, on the board of the Montessori school. My mom was a big Montessori educator. So how do we create that kind of environment where you build the space really for the small sized human that's there and make them a part of that experience rather than passive in it? And at the same time, your customer is really the parent. So how do you also build an environment where the parent feels comfortable? They understand that this is a nice, comfortable space, but you are an expert and I can trust you with the care of the most important thing that I have. The joke that I often say is that being a parent is the most important job I've ever had that I am not qualified or trained to hold this position. It's also the one that I really want to do the best at. And so that's this constant, probably valid imposter syndrome of like, I shouldn't be in care of the life of these three small humans without any training. But BraveCare is really just trying to be a 24-hour partner to that you can focus on building the relationship with them and helping them grow. And from a medical standpoint, we're there to help them reach their potential.
To your point on feeling unqualified for taking care of children, there was some blog post I'd read years back, where this guy was basically going on about how mind-blowing it is. You buy a car, you buy a boat, so many things. You have to get a license, you have to pass a test and prove some competency. And you have a kid and they're just like, okay, here's your human. Like you walk out of the hospital and, they never even know if you really know what you're doing here. And there you go. Now you've got someone's life to take care of.
It's insane that we have sort of normalized that as a system. 'Cause again, if you're gonna be a hairstylist, you got to go to like 4,000 hours of training in order to cut somebody's hair. But for me to help build lifelong confidence or an ability to find self-worth, removed from physical external, praise, like I don't, what? I have no idea. I'm a flawed person myself. I'm still trying to get good at me. So to be responsible, trying to set somebody else up for success is a crazy amount of pressure. I mean, I'm very fortunate to have a great relationship with my wife, a very supportive partnership, but like it's still hard. I mean, we again have very many layers of privilege, and yet we're exhausted sometimes after a long day. So for people who do it as single working parents, like that is an insane amount of pressure and responsibility that I can't even comprehend. I can appreciate it, but I can't understand it.
Definitely. So from the tech angle, I'm curious, how is tech making healthcare better at Brave Care?
We've talked to pediatricians before, any kind of pediatric provider, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant as well, where coming to technology from the outside, there's an immediate kind of knee-jerk reaction that goes, I want to have a more personal relationship with my patients. Like, I don't want to have technology get in the way. I think you're just experiencing bad technology. Like, hopefully good technology, what we're building tries to get out of the way of that so that when somebody comes in, so as a kid turns 4 years old until 18, you have an annual wellness visit. It's still the highest developmental years of your life, and we're going to get a single data point visit, and often I have a Bernstein Bears book here on my desk because I was looking at it. It was made in 1982, and they go to the doctor. It's the same visit experience 40 years later. They're going to come in and it's like, well, how are you doing? What happened this year? It's like, I don't know. I don't remember what happened 2 months ago. So why can't we build good technology? In this book, it shouldn't be that you walk in and a robot greets you and there's no human there, but the human should be, hey, let's look at your health history. Like what happened in June? There's a little bit of you had a declining weight for a few months. Oh, that was interesting. Something else, another illness happened. Like there's so much more information that could be used to drive a more personal conversation around that child's actual health and development. And we're missing it because we're not leveraging technology to really capture it. There is a medical clinic near my house in Portland where we walk past it to go get coffee or hot chocolates together with the kid. It still has the folder on the wall with all the manila, patient records there. Legally, we've had to digitize these all, but the digital mandate really just had us digitize manila folders. Like their images stored, the data hasn't even been OCR'd and is searchable. So we just modernize an old thing rather than going, how should this be done? And let's strive to go build that. Let's use information and access to broaden equality of care. Every kid deserves access to incredibly good healthcare, regardless of their parents' financial position. So how do we build a company that exists in every part of the country and possibly the world, not just an affluent kind of tier one tech first cities?